love, kindness, human connection. These are some of the things we talk about on the Danny Painter Show. It's a thing. This show is intended for a more mature audience. We might sometimes say bad words.
Wonderful to be here. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here. Okay, so I've spoken to you more than once now. I think you guys were a beautiful news story that I featured on my Jacaranda FM show. I've been following you. There was an incredible documentary that we're going to speak about. But before we get into it, Zip Zap is a circus school, but it's also a circus. And you train circus people. So if we want to run away to the circus, this is where we're running. But it was started with the most beautiful vision and idea by two incredible human beings. Tell us a little bit about the history of Zip Zap.
Yes, it is actually based on a love story, a real, true life love story, which gives me great pleasure to tell the story. It was founded 29 years ago, so next year will be actually 30 years, by Brent van Rensburg, a South African, and Laurence Esteve, his French wife. He joined the circus young. He actually started doing flying trapeze when he was about 16, and he went to seek his fortune overseas, as some of us do, and ended up working at various circuses. One of them was called Ringling Brothers in Florida, and had a thriving circus career in flying trapeze. He traveled all over the world, and one of the places that he ended up at was Club Med on some Caribbean island. I think it was the Dominican Republic. And he then met Laurence at Club Med. She happened to be running the Club Med. She was French, and she had done a lot of sport, studied sports science, done her MBA, so quite a street businesswoman. And they met and fell in love, and then he ended up teaching Laurence circus and how to trapeze, and they ended up doing a couple of gigs together. And then he once said, I've been all over the world with you, why don't you come back to my beautiful country and come and see Cape Town, we'll just go for a holiday, just 6 weeks. And so she, she did run away with her circus artist, much to her parents' sort of concern, I would say, and especially to a foreign country at the tip of Africa. And Brent then introduced her to Cape Town, and of course that 6 weeks ended up being 6 months, 6 years, 26 years. Laurence and Brent never left. It was at a pivotal time in South African history. It was 1994 when democracy, the birth of democracy and the end of apartheid, and they had decided that they were going to use the circus arts as a tool for social change, to bridge the social gaps that were very evident at the time and still are. And it was a beautiful way of bringing children together in a circus family environment. So that's how the circus was born. It's an academy, and it's just so much more than just a school, because you don't only teach circus skills, but social skills are very much part of the tuition.
Yeah. I was watching, when I was doing research for this interview, I was watching some documentaries on YouTube about you guys, and I saw there was actually a Carte Blanche one that was done, and I think it was 2009, I think, I could be wrong. But they were talking around how they were traveling from place to place and doing circus school in fields and warehouses and classrooms and wherever they could, they were doing it, and their biggest dream was to have their own space. They wanted the Zip Zap space. And I was just watching that, and I thought, from a vision that you think, at some point you must go, how are we ever going to accomplish this? How are we ever going to do this? This is insane. To now being Zip Zap, creating incredible documentaries, partnering with incredible companies and corporates, and an established name. I wonder if they look back and remember those times when the roof was leaking and they were in the middle of nowhere and go, shit, we made it,
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I mean, I love hearing those stories. I obviously wasn't part of it then, but it's you can feel the spirit and the energy, the entrepreneurial spirit, and also the energy of sort of the resilience that's gone with ZipZap. And that is a skill and that we also teach, you know, and pass on to the children, because life is not easy and it doesn't always turn out the way we dream about it. But if we dream and we do make this big dream, which was a massive, very ambitious dream, and actually it started when Laurence and Brent started, they had a rusty old bucky, which is a truck in American language, a rusty old bucky. They had a box of costumes. They had a trapeze rope, which they actually hung in trees. And they would then go to do trapeze tuition in the townships of Cape Town, outside schools. They had no venue. So it really was like a traveling circus. They would just take along joy wherever they went, and also welcomed all children.
Yeah.
Because there were no barriers to entry. It didn't cost anything. There was no, there was just no children were turned away, which is a beautiful thing. And that is how it started. And that was the vision then, and the big, hairy, audacious dream then. And it has not actually relented. It's continued, yeah, snowballed, and through thick and thin, with the leaking roofs, with the changing of venues. They've been in warehouses, they've been in very temporary venues where they had to sweep the floors because of the rain pouring through before they could actually start training. All the kids jump in together, and that is how circus works. You know, it's not like this is my job and that I only do circus, so I don't sweep and I don't clean windows and I don't do. We all just jump in together and all, you know, hop on board to make things happen. So if there's a hole in the roof, it gets fixed. If something needs sweeping, it gets swept. And then the show must go on. Yeah. Very much like the traveling circus was, I think, in the golden years when they were traveling around Europe in the gypsy caravans. It was a family that would then be performing at a venue. And so circus builds this resilience. And it's built on massive dreams, which do come true. But if you don't put them out there, how are you going to aim for anything?
Yeah. You know, you touched on a lot of things that I definitely got from the documentaries that I was watching and the little snips of interviews that you guys have done over the years. And one of the resounding things that I think we all know that a circus is a family, but I don't think we understand the extent to which it is. It is in you. It's in your blood. And these people, you're essentially trusting with your life day in and day out. And there has to be some kind of insane bond, right, of trust. And then also the training is discipline. And it's, of course, my phone will ring now. Sorry. it's discipline, and it's all of the things that we want to instill in the youth. And you would never think the circus is the place we're going to do that. Let's send our kids to the circus. But it is. And I think that the watching some of the things that you guys have done and some of the interviews with especially the kids, the discipline and the resilience, like you were saying, that these kids are learning at such a young age, and how if you want something, you have to work for it, and you're going to fall and you're going to fail and you're not going to get it right. And then you're going to get it right, but then you may still fall and fail. It's about the getting up and the doing it over and over and over again. And I wish that my parents had let me run away and join the circus.
You're so right, Danny, because that's why we say we're so much more than just the circus. Because remember, we train from, we actually start at ECD level. So there's little schools that come through from Half Bay. They're all from informal settlements. And these schools come every quarter. So we start them from sort of 4 years old to six in these baby little classes. And there, they're learning to trust each other. They're learning to speak English amongst each other. And they're learning that they can master something, which gives them a little bit of control over their circumstances in a way, because they can master like being the best tightrope walker or the best forward flip or the best bottom of kissy or whatever it is that they're learning to do, so that they can have some kind of pride in what they've achieved. And then we take them from beginners you know, from seven onwards, all the way through to professional circus artists, a smaller group that actually training to work in performing arts. But the way that circus works is you've got to, you know, it's teamwork. Number one, you're always working in some kind of a group. You do fall. Someone will catch you. You do have to try again, because the more you try, the better you're going to become at your craft. So there's that discipline, the determination, and the perseverance to keep on keeping on and never give up. So we say we'd rather you juggle three balls really well. We actually want you to juggle three balls really well than five balls, you know, all the time. So keep going at your three balls and really master that craft. And when anyone drops a ball in a performance, it's quite remarkable. You're sitting in our audiences, all our students cheer. It's part of how we encourage you just to push through, carry on. It's okay to drop a ball because you just pick it up and you carry on. That was, so it's almost like a parable of life, or it's quite symbolic of life, because we do drop our balls, we do have to pick them up, dust them off, we do fall off our bikes, and it's not the end of the world. We can carry on and push through. And I think the performances also give them something to really work towards, and they might not always shine at their school, for instance. They might not be traditionally good at academic achievements and go onto the prize giving stage and get all the accolades. But when they do have this opportunity, and they all do have show and tells with their parents, we film it, they get to shine on stage and as part of a collective and as part of a family that's all accepting no matter what. So there's no conditions, as long as you keep on keeping on and you know you're part of the team.
Work hard, play hard. I was just, as you were talking, you know, these are life lessons. These aren't just circus lessons. I think a lot of us, I would have loved to be told that it doesn't matter if you drop a ball, you'll be fine. Just pick it up. I don't think a lot of us were ever taught that. And so when we drop a ball, the world is over and life is over, and it takes us like months to recover from dropping the ball. But just on that, the universe kind of threw a spanner in the works last year for the circus, and obviously with lockdown no one was circusing, no one was allowed to do anything. From both perspectives, from both ZipZap and from the kids, how did you guys manage that? Because this is obviously a very safe space, a good space for the kids. How did you manage lockdown?
Yes, that was a huge challenge for everybody, because it's always, you know, the training involves a lot of hands-on kind of togetherness, and it's a very physical kind of training where there's a lot of touching involved, each other holding. So we were then having to distance from each other, which was totally against our philosophy and what we are accustomed to.
Yeah.
So our programs were suspended. We had no programs running, and we also weren't permitted to do any live shows. So the live shows of our professionals and our amateur group called the Zappers Group, who are our emerging students, we put on these live shows at least four or five times a year, and they are our sustainability income stream. It allows us to fund the programs, which actually run for free. Mm. So all the training we do is free, no children pay. It doesn't matter where they live, whether they come from Bishop's Court or Bishop's Labours, it doesn't really matter. No one pays. And that is a philosophy that we've always maintained. So the shows are a vital source of income for us. So not being able to have those, it really cuts about 45% of our income.
Wow.
So we had to really consider how else we were going to entertain our audiences without engaging with them publicly. So we had this beautiful archive of 29 years of shows, if you think about it, and not all of them were immaculately filmed, broadcast quality or anything, but we went back into our archives and we decided, well, let's put on a couple of virtual screenings of the best shows we had. And we went back into that library and we packaged four different shows and we ran virtual screenings throughout the year. And it was actually very interesting because we were able to then reach out to a global audience, because generally we only perform in Cape Town, sometimes in Johannesburg. We haven't really performed huge national tours. Generally, we would go overseas and perform by invitation. And these were not happening. But the virtual screenings allowed us to reach a whole new audience, which is actually to our benefit because we're growing our donor base at the same time. And we're spreading the ZipZap magic on the world stage, which is part of our mission. The other way, so that was the show way, how we actually reached out with our shows. We also had to consider, obviously, our biggest stakeholders are the children, and how are they going to cope, you know, with distancing and isolation was a huge part of the emotional well-being. Being locked up inside is really hard, and not being able to go to school. So we started WhatsApp groups for every single program, and we would then release exercise lessons and sessions every week at a given time. We would encourage everyone to tune into their little exercise class. And then we would do tutorials on various circus skills, like little master classes they were able to tune in. And that kept them going. Then we asked them to give us content. So it was a reciprocation. So it was a bit of a contribution from both sides as opposed to us just dishing out the content. We asked the students to contribute content to us. So we got the most amazing contributions, and the moms and dads also got involved, where they were doing gymnastics for their kids. They were, you know, climbing trees and skipping on all sorts of homemade apparatus. We had to put a waiver in there, you know, be careful of the safety issues, but it was amazing what content. And then we actually asked them, we put incentives in when we did a couple of competitions, so that they could feel that they were accomplishing something. And we made sort of fuss about the winners, and we put them on our wall of fame at the academy. And then we realized, well, you know, not all, we know that not all South African youth are equal, and many of our students didn't have the privilege of having Wi-Fi at home and access to data. So there was a barrier to entry, and which was something that we were not used to and accustomed to. So we needed to remove that barrier, so we started a Raising Data campaign, and that gave us another opportunity to reach out to our very generous donors, and we raised more than 100,000 rands worth of data.
Wow.
Which was incredible. And then we, there was certain criteria, and then our operations team would then hand out the data or issue the data to the students so that they could have access on a weekly basis. And the other thing that we realized was that many of them were literally living on the breadline. So when you are hungry, you know, you're not learning, and you don't have the energy to train. So we actually hooked up with another charity in Heart Bay, and they were doing food parcel relief. They were called Courage. They're still around, and they were actually initiated during the lockdown, and we were then able to feed over 650 of our students and all their families. And we delivered with our, because we have transport, we have two buses and a bucky still, and we were able to deliver home to home, to their doors, food parcels and sanitary packs.
Wow.
Yeah.
I have goosebumps. I mean, you know, this is, you guys are incredible, actually. I think these are the stories that we need to hear about organizations like yours, because you're not only there to, on the face of it, help kids, right, and give them a skill and help them in the world and guide them. You're also at a very base level looking after your family across the board. doesn't matter. And whatever you need, however we can make you good, is what we're going to do to get you good. And that's physically, mentally, emotionally, your family that you're going to be worrying about. We're going to do the whole package, and we're going to keep you going so that you can train how we need you to train. And this, I think, is something that a lot of organizations need to hear. And perhaps this is a call for them to step up as well, because I haven't heard of anyone going to this length.
Thank you. Because, yeah, I think that is definitely part of the leadership philosophy. It's a holistic approach. I mean, we all, you know, you don't only reach physical well-being, but you do need to maintain your emotional well-being. And that's what COVID tested, because we are social creatures and we promote social cohesion. That is part of our ethos and our mission. That is our mandate, is using circus arts to promote that social cohesion. So when we were separated, we realized that our children are going to face isolation. They're going to be stuck at home. Many of them don't have huge gardens and swimming pools and, you know, parks that they can have access to. So how are they going to train indoors in tiny little spaces? Mm-hmm. But we actually made do, and because we encouraged them, you can juggle in any space.
Yeah.
So, you know, juggling competitions are one thing that you can do. And you can also juggle with anything. You juggle with oranges, you juggle with rice, because we actually make our juggling balls from rice and balloons and socks.
And socks, okay.
Yes. So we, part of the COVID plan as a management team was that our programs team each received a list of our various program students and their phone numbers. So we phoned every week to check in with those parents, and we said, you know, what are your needs? How are you doing? And then that's how we discovered that actually they were hungry, number one. Number two, they didn't have access to the data. And even though that is not our kind of core business or mandate, we're in circus training, but I think COVID also helped promote collaboration between NGOs and other charities. So charities like food schemes, we would never really kind of collide with them along our route. And it promoted this amazing collaboration where there wasn't this sometimes you find in the charity space or the civil sector, there is this you have to protect your donor base, because it's only, you're all fishing from the same pond, and, you know, but this was different, where it was actually about survival.
Yeah.
So there was a whole other element that came in, a whole other dimension that we were entering, and we felt there was this togetherness of, we actually were in it together, and we needed to learn, and we needed to collaborate to survive. So a whole new kind of strategy came out of it.
One of my colleagues has said to me for years, I've known her since I was 13, and she said the same thing for years and years and years, and it always comes back to me in moments where I'm holding on to things too tightly. And she says, there's enough sun for everyone, and as soon as you let go, you give space for more sun to shine on you. So I think that the more we collaborate and the more we learn these incredible lessons, the more sun is going to shine on you and on them and on all of us. But just going back to the data, the food parcels, the sanitary products, you know, this for me, I don't think we realize that ZipZap is kind of like an extramural. It's not school, it's not college, it's not the only thing that these kids are doing. You guys are an extramural, and you're going to these lengths to help the kids that you are with. How can we help you help them? What do we do as the public?
Wow, that's a wonderful question. Thank you for asking.
You can't do it alone.
We are very fortunate. We have good, generous donors who didn't abandon us during COVID, because, you know, we obviously have a mandate, and we must fulfill that mandate. So we need to train a certain amount of children a certain amount of times a week and in a month, etc. So there are these numbers that we have to deliver on, and that's how donors quantify their impact and the return on, because it's an investment in humankind. So we did have our donors that stuck with us, and our donors have been very loyal, which is extremely validating and encouraging. But how the public can help without us running a number of campaigns, which takes a lot of energy and a lot of resource, the best way to help any nonprofit is to give on a regular basis. So to become a monthly donor, it can be 10 rand a month. It's only, you know, 120 rand a year. That is the best gift you can give to ZipZap, to ZipZap's children, because we run our programs for free and we don't ever want to charge.
Yeah.
That is annuity income for us. We don't have to, we spend our time thanking you for it, and you will be well rewarded in terms of your social conscience and feeling, you know, the benefits of doing good.
Yeah.
Which definitely have amazing benefits, but that is the best way, and especially foreign currency goes a long way. So, you know, $1, £1 a month, £10 a month would be amazing. And we really do, that is what ZipZap needs the most. We also have a gift in kind wish list. We post Wishful Wednesdays on our Facebook. So sometimes we need simple things like a toaster that we can have, so our staff could have toast in the mornings, or even just a fridge. And when we put it out there, it's amazing. Sometimes we just need a sewing machine, because we make our own costumes as well.
Wow.
For the shows. We have a little costume department, and it's run by one of our former students. She was also a trapeze artist, and then now she's a mom, so she's become a costume designer. So there's those ways, but predominantly I'd say the monthly giving. It's easy to sign up. It's on our website. We do it through Give and Gain. And that way it just becomes, it helps us with cash flow. And then, as I say, the gift in kind, the wish list is on our website as well. So those are goods in kind. So a lot of people, for instance, companies cover our printing costs, cover our photocopying costs, cover our water, and that just helps operational expenses. But if you're just a regular public, Joe public, like you and I, just 10 rand a month, 50 rand a month would be so, so amazing.
Okay, there's another thing that we can do to help support you, and this is, I really want to talk about this. Documentary. You guys did a documentary, and it is beautiful and moving and just so well shot. I really, really loved it. It just speaks so much into South Africa and the culture and who we are in the most beautiful movement way. Tell us a little bit about... It's Moya, right? Moya. Yes.
Yes, Moya. Wow, it is a beautiful story, actually, because it is, as you know, we have a professional arm. So we're a social circus where we just train for social change. But then we also have this professional group who have come through the social programs and have got to a point where they are now sort of world-class circus artists. And they also perform all around the world in regular, you know, pre-COVID times. So because we were now stuck at home, and Moya was going to travel all across Europe and the States, we were going to do an international tour, we had to come up with another alternative and think outside of the box. So our co-founders, Laurence and Brent, one daughter, her name is Sabine van Rensburg. She is also she was born into the circus. I mean, you can imagine. She started when she could barely walk. She's very much part of the circus family. And she went to train in Montreal, Canada, as at one of the most prestigious circus art schools in the world. And she had just graduated, and she's employed at the circus company called Seven Fingers, which is the French translation into English, and they had traveled around the world touring, and they also came to a grinding halt during COVID. So Sabine came back home thinking what she would then take and transfer some of her skills to our students and start training some of the programs during the time that she was essentially had been retrenched. So she also brought along a couple of her circus friends, and they all had various disciplines. The one was a physiotherapist, in fact, which was very handy, because we had a lot of aching muscles and aching bones when we were training. And then the other two had various other acrobatics skills and talents. So they were training the young students, and because we couldn't go over, we thought, well, why don't we create, they'd done a movement film together in Canada, and it had gone so well, they'd also got some funding from the Canadian government. So they thought, well, let's see if we can't turn Moya from a live show, potential, traveling international show, into an acrobatic short film and do an art film. That's quite interesting because South African art films, I don't know, you know, we're quite sure, and how is the audience going to accept this? And it's quite a leap of faith for Zip Zap. It's very different to what we normally put it on. But we said, you know what, we've got to lose. We're going to push the envelope, and we've got to push some creative boundaries in order to break the mold. And it's also, we wanted to tell Zip Zap's story in a different way, using different medium. So this was Sabine's brainchild, and it took a very, very, it was a very intense period of time. I think they took 8 weeks to put it together.
Wow.
They found over 12 different locations across the Western Cape. And so there was a lot of intense filming. We used one of our very good friends from Fresh Air Crew. His name is Nick Good. He was part of the cinematography group, and Sabine choreographed it, and then another guy, Bryn, also part of the videography group. So they went on this incredible journey, and the whole idea was to showcase, well, it was to tell the story of the circus. Tell a story of the youth in the circus through the eyes of one of our students. And this is Trompie's real story. His nickname is Trompie. His name is Jacobus Klaassen. And Jacobus ran away from home at 10 years old. He lived in Paarl. He came from a very abusive background, his family. There was violence, there was alcohol and drugs. And life in the streets is actually more appealing. That is just so radical to hear and to even comprehend. So he lived a life on the streets, and he was all cute at 10, but you know, when you grow up and you're not so cute anymore and you're begging and living under bridges, and you know, maybe people aren't sympathetic. So he ended up going into a shelter in Salt River called the Multi-Service Center. They took him in, and Zip Zap does outreach in our neighborhood, and it's called, well, there's a couple of outreaches. The one's called The Hood for Salt River Children, and they, everyone in a radius of 5 to 10 kilometers is welcome, and they can walk to the academy, which is great. They don't have to use public transport, and they don't have to rely on their parents to bring them either. But this particular one was called Second Chance, and it really, Trompie was exposed to a circus show, and then he wanted to join and join the circus. So he ran away and joined us. So that's Trompie's story. So the whole story is told through the eyes of youth, through Trompie's eyes. And the narrative is actually wrapped by Jason, one of our other performers, who's also in Moya. He's the juggler. And he compiled an original rap, which is a slow rap, my kind of rap, actually, because I love hearing the lyrics. And he wrote the lyrics, and he does the rap. And it's just three verses over 45 minutes, because it's not that slow, but it's just in intermittent phases of the visuals. And he then tells the story of how, how Trompie discovered the circus. And discover the magic of circus and how it turned around, turned his life around, really, and changed his destiny. And it beautifully told, like you said, through body art, different locations. There's some underwater filming. There's filming in Llandudno Beach, Table Mountain, I think there's also filming in out. The gumboot scene is done, and the pantsuit scene is done in Greyton on a dusty road. So, and then juggling is done with the fruit sellers, which is like typical landscapes of the Cape. So we try to sort of use our beautiful natural diversity and our cultural diversity of how our country could really be, and like a little snippet and a vision of how the beauty of our culture can shine through if we just, you know, lived together in harmony.
It is absolutely beautiful. And luckily, we can still watch it and we can still get tickets, right?
Yes.
Okay, tell me where we can do that and how we access the film.
Okay, so it was on, we had it during the month of, it was actually April, I think, yes. And then it was just a quick 48-hour window. Yeah. We had 46 countries tuning in.
Wow.
Believe it, Danny. Yes, from all over the world. And we managed to raise 250,000 rand.
Well done. Oh, my God.
Yes.
Wow. Okay.
That was absolutely amazing because we also got a lot of donations coming in at the same time. But then, of course, the whole some of the world was like not awake, and they forgot to tune in, and they didn't have Wi-Fi, and they were out in the countryside. So fortunately, we were invited to Brighton Fringe Art Festival, which is a UK-based art festival, one of the largest in the world, and they have invited us. So we are going to feature on Fringe. So it's brightonfringe.org is the platform. You can buy your tickets now. They'll be 150 rand, depending on the exchange rate of the day. It's around £8. And the window to view is from the 28th of May till the 27th of June.
Okay.
So we're now on the 18th of May, so you've still got lots of time to buy your ticket, and you'll have a whole month to watch it and have a watch party with your mates. You know, get some popcorn, or don't have a watch party if it's you don't want a super spreader either. So maybe you just watch it alone. I don't want to promote any of that, but we'll see how it's going at the moment, how the wave is approaching. But it's a virtual screening. It's watch on demand. You can buy your ticket and watch whatever you like in that window of a month.
I can tell you right now, you should be watching alone in those yoga pants that you haven't put on since 2019, because I watched it and all I wanted to do, I felt so cuck. I was like, well, I mean, I've let myself go. And look what people are doing with their bodies, Danny. Look at what these people are doing. What is wrong with you? And then I started Googling calisthenics and I went on like this whole journey. And now I've decided that I'm going to join I'm going to find a circus and I'm going to join a circus because I want to look like that. I want to be healthy like that. And I want to be able to move like that. So not only is this documentary very beautiful and touching and just beautiful, it's inspiring to everyone. Yes. Everyone, I think.
Thank you. Yes. I mean, that is hard work. Those chiseled bodies don't come sort of easy. And those boys and girls are amazing. I mean, I'm absolutely in awe of them. I watch them training every day from the comfort of my office. And, yeah, I don't know how they do it, but that is dedication.
Yeah.
But it is inspiring because, you know, you can start somewhere. You can start in those sexy yoga pants and do that first yoga course or yoga challenge. Just start moving.
Yeah.
And I think because we can do it from home, you know, you don't actually have to even spend any petrol to go and do it. It's very inspiring.
It is very inspiring. And I think all of us need to go and get our £8 tickets. £8 is, I know it could be a lot of money for you, but it's definitely going somewhere that is going to make you feel good about spending that £8. And like you were saying, Roxy, I've always said giving is very selfish because the giver gets way more than the receiver. Cause in giving, you get so much good and hopefully it snowballs out and you just want to give all the time. What is happening? What is up? What can we look forward to other than obviously the Brighton Fringe? Are you guys back training? Are you planning anything cool coming up later this year? What's happening?
Yes, well, we are hoping to do our first live show. We are tentative at the moment. We've got all the plans in place. Yes, please.
Fingers crossed.
But it's only set for July, so 14. We've got two show runs, only in Cape Town. But that's okay. You'll just have to come and visit us again in the holidays. So 14 to 18 July is one run, and then the 21 to 26 July. That's in the Dome, which is at the foreshore in Cape Town. And that performance is called Slapstick, and it's inspired by the Buster Keaton era of slapstick comedy and humor. And it'll be performed by our emerging school-going children. So they're still at school, and this is an extramural for them, but they train really hard. They train at least twice a week. And they will probably be training a little bit harder to prepare for the show. We'll be putting out the marketing collateral very shortly so people can book on Quicket. Then we hope, if we don't get to tour Moya, the professional group, we are still working on a show behind the scenes. So besides the documentary or the acrobatic art film, if we can do a tour nationally next year.
Okay.
So when we get to Joburg, Durban, PE, in those centres, we'll definitely let you guys know. So that'll be a full show. So it'll be the same collective called Moya. So we've done Moya the film, now we're working on Moya the show. And that is going to take on a whole new form. It'll be, hopefully we have our own music, local music, which will be written locally. And we're working on a couple of artists there in the background, and also have a couple of choreographers perhaps coming in from overseas to help us craft the shows. It's been very exciting. And then what else do we have up our sleeve? I nearly forgot. Yes, Journey. Now, Journey Returns is a collaboration with Artscape, and that is with the Philharmonic Orchestra, the Cape Town Philharmonic Orchestra. I think it'll be the fourth show we're doing with them, but we've had a lot of false starts because of COVID, and we hope that this will take place in October at Artscape, and it's a symphonic circus. It's all the whole of Cape Town Philharmonic Orchestra that performs. So if numbers allow, then it'll be circus acts choreographed to symphonic music. And the idea is that we will possibly ask the orchestra to play classic, not only classic, but rock. So we'd like to sort of have contemporary music played by the orchestra, and then the circus acts are part of that. So that's going to be absolutely beautiful. That's in October, and we hope to have that show on the road. I think we'll be collaborating with local media in Cape Town, but it is also a kind of show that we could take to Johannesburg. We've had that show at the Joburg Theatre before, it would be great to revive it in Johannesburg too.
I'm in Cape Town in October. I'm just saying I'll be there. I will be there. This is my whole vibe.
Oh, brilliant. Well, you'll definitely be one of our guest honors.
I want to come and play. That's all I actually want to do. Yes. I'd love to go and watch, but I would really prefer to come and play and see how you guys operate and what you do and all of the cool things, and hopefully walk away with the skill, even if it's juggling. I don't know.
I need to send you is we recently did, because no one can come and visit us, as we love having friends over to the Academy in Salt River, which is every child's dream. I think it's all the children within us still, the child within's dream still. It's like a triple volume playground. We have bicycles hanging from the ceiling. We've got unicycles. We've got juggling balls. We've got scarves and trapeze, and these beautiful big mats and this exquisite dance studio. So we have done a virtual tour. We took our ringmaster and we asked him to whiz us around to show people what we do at the academy. So what I'll do is, as soon as that's finished, I'll send you that little that link, and then you can get a little whet your appetite for the actual visit.
I'm ready. I'm ready. I will leave my life. I will leave my dog. No, I'll bring my dog. But I will leave my husband and everything behind, and I'm coming to the circus. It's decided.
Brilliant. Oh, brilliant. Danny, we'd love to have you here.
Awesome. Okay, so, Roxy, one last time. Where are we going to find out everything that we need to know about donations, about the Brighton Fringe, about all of it?
Okay. So best starting place is our website. So it's zip-zap.co.za. Everything's on there. I'll also be posting the virtual tour on there very soon once the final version is up. Then you can also book Brighton Fringe because our banners are all up for Brighton Fringe. But if you'd like to go directly, it's brightonfringe.org. Book your Moya ticket there. Slapstick is the show in July in Cape Town. That's going to be available on Cricket. And then, of course, if you are in Cape Town for October, Journey returns with the Cape Town Philharmonic Orchestra, which is going to be absolutely mesmerizing. And then if you are in Cape Town and want to pop in, we do practice COVID protocols and everything. Bring your mask. And we'll quickly whiz you around. We love hosting friends. But we're also going to be on Airbnb as an experience if you want to do juggling, learn how to juggle. So the 101 of juggling is going to soon be an Airbnb experience. So that's another something that we are cooking up in the magic factory.
I am here for all of this. Roxy, so much for your time again, and thank you for always coming on the show and talking about the circus. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for being such a circus fan. we love chatting to you, Danny. It's always a pleasure, and I hope that you have a beautiful day.
Remember, you can catch the full video on exotv.me, and you can meet us in kind of real life. Thanks to DJ Chuck for the music. You can catch him at www.chucksprosound.co.za. New episodes on Jackpod and ExoTV every Monday. Love you.